So I'd just like to make a few comments about the Sunday school lesson. First of all, that lesson had so much beauty and so much power in it that it's easy to not get hold of. He gives us three ways to walk. Three things to walk in because of the blessings that God has given to us. The first one, he says, walk in love as Christ. That's pretty big. Walk in love as Christ. We kind of tend to get focused on what he says don't do, and we miss out on the big picture of what he is telling us to do. Walk in love as Christ. Then he says, walk in light as those led by the Holy Spirit. Not in darkness, in light. Led by the Holy Spirit. And then he says, walk diligently as wise people. So he gives us three very specific things that God wants for us because of what he's given us in chapter 1, 2, and 3. And now he's saying, walk this way. And there's purpose in each of those. And when we follow that and do that, walk in those things, God's blessing comes down. And it's just such a beautiful thing. So this morning I want to share a message with us about our God. God is a very present God, a very personal God, and a very precious God. And I want us to think about that this morning. Not getting any movement here, Jeffrey. Can you help that thing out just a little bit? So one of the things that happens with us is we often do not think of God in these terms. We have this idea about who God is, and these terms don't describe our God. We struggle and we wonder, and we try to somehow get hold of a God who is not present, who is not personal, who is not precious. And when I think of that, I think of the Muslim people throughout the world and Allah. Because one of the things that differs between our God and their God are these very things. The God Allah is very withdrawn. He stands aloof. He is not present. He's watching, but he's not there with us. He's not personal. He has no relationship with his subjects. He only controls and dominates. He does not have any real lasting value as far as preciousness is concerned for his people. So I want to ask us, as we're thinking about our God, How, again, we talked about this earlier. There we go. We talked about this, thanks, David. We talked about this earlier the other Sunday evening when I talked about God and His working in our hearts. But I want us to think further about it. So where is God in your life, in my life? Do these three terms describe God, your God, my God? Or is God distant? Is God kind of far away? Is God not very real? Is He someone that's there and we're supposed to really connect with Him, but in reality, there's very little connection? But I think that's something that we need to consider. Is my God real and personal? We talked about this the other Sunday night, about having relationship with Him. So, is He someone that I value to the extent that I would call Him the most precious thing in my life? Now, I'm not talking about words. I'm talking about reality down inside my heart. We can say, we know the words, right? We know what we're supposed to say and what we're supposed to think about God. But is that reality? Is God precious to me? Is He real to me? Is He personal? Is He there in my life, every day of my life? Is He there that I can reach out and touch Him, that I can call to Him, that I can hear from Him, that I know what He is about? I think those are questions that we have to ask ourselves and we have to think about. So first of all, our God is a God who's present. He's here. He's not somewhere distant. And we could go back and we could look at so many things here. But one of the things that I notice over and over and over again in the Scripture is this phrase, God was with. What did the angel say that Jesus should be named? One of His names. Emmanuel. Why? What is the meaning of Emmanuel? God with us. Jesus came to earth to be with us. And you read in John chapter 17, and you look at what Jesus is praying there, and how He's crying out to the Father. And one of the things that He says there is, Father, I want my children to come and be with me just like I was here with them. I want them to be with me where I am. So when we start thinking about our God, we're thinking about a God that is very present. David said in Psalm 46, a very present help in time of trouble. He's here with us. Now let's look at some examples of this. In Genesis 39, verse 21, stated specifically, this is not the only time it's stated about Joseph, but it says very specifically, God was with Joseph. He was with him. Now it's interesting. One of the problems that we have with this is, if God is with us, what should we expect from Him? What should we expect from life if God is with us? Gideon had that question. And so in Judges there, chapter 6, chapter 9, back in there, I forget which chapter it is, right off the top of my head. But Gideon was there and the angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Hi, highly favored, God is with you." And Gideon's like, "What? If God is with us, why are all these things happening to us? We have the Philistines here, and they are making us do everything wrong. We have to take our scythes that we cut our grain with. We have to take them to them to get sharpened. We can't have any sharpening tools, and we can't have any kind of fighting tools. We can they take our crops as soon as they're ripe. They destroy everything around us. They make us in bondage." And he actually was hiding, trying to press out some grapes. And he says, "So if God is here with us, why are all these things happening?" Well, Joseph could ask the same thing, right? He's in prison. But God was with Joseph. And the reality, God is with us today. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. "Certainly I will be with you." This is talking to Moses. Moses is just learning to know God. And one of the things that he has to learn about God, and one of the things that you and I need to know about God, is that God is with us. He is present. He is here with us. He is more here and more real than the person sitting beside you. And he wants that reality to be part of your life and mine. He wants us to converse with him. He wants us to come to him for all kinds of things. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14. David, the Lord was with him in all... Are you starting to see a pattern here? What's the pattern you're noticing here with these guys? Yeah, the Lord was with him, but what's the other part of the pattern? Is their life just awesome? They are just having so much fun. Life is so good. They wake up every day and the sun is shining and they got plenty of money and they just do whatever they want to do and life is just so good. Is that what's happening with these guys? What? God's with them and that's not happening? Really? Well, let's just look a little bit more. Isaiah 41, verse 10. "Fear not, for I am with thee. Don't be dismayed, I'm your God." Well, what's happening here? Do you remember what's happening with the children of Israel when Isaiah's prophesying? They're in captivity. They are slaves. They're getting beaten down. They're getting just treated like dirt. God says, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you. Don't get all out of shape. I'm your God. I'm here. I'm with you." And here comes Haggai, chapter 1, verse 13. And he says, God says through him, I'm with you. Haggai is prophesying. One of Haggai's problems is, he says, God, if you're with us, why are our enemies doing so well and we're doing so poorly? God says, Haggai, I'm with you. Haggai shares it with the people. stuck again. So one of the things we're noticing is that God oftentimes comes with this message of I am with you when things are bad. Bad, bad, bad. There's just not much good there. And here comes God. He shows up. He says, I'm with you. I'm right here. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm right here. I'm present. I'm not absent. You know, we often think of God as being absent when things are not going well. When you're faced with difficulties, what's one of the first things that comes to mind in relation to God? Where is He? Absolutely. That's, as humans, that's one of the first things that comes to us. Where's God? And that's what Gideon was asking. God, if you're with us, why is all this stuff happening? It's pretty apparent that you're not with us. And God says, I'm with you. So secondly then, we want to notice that God is a very personal God. First of all, He's with us. How do we know He is with us? Okay. Our spirits communicate. What if our spirit isn't really communicating well? Does that mean He's not with us? So how do we know that He's with us? He told us, right? He's promised it to us. We'll look at that some more, but we want to just pay attention here. So we know that He's with us because He says that He's with us. It's not about how I feel. It's not about what's happening around me. It's not about what anybody else says. It's not about anything else except what He says. I am with you. I will be with you. So that's where we base our trust, our confidence in this truth. Not in what we see, not in what we feel, not in what we touch, not in what's happening. We base it in His promise and who He is. So secondly, God is very personal. So in Isaiah 41, when He says, I am with thee, He also says there, I am your God. Now we have this concept that when we disobey, when we pull away from God, that He stops being our God. We have that kind of a concept. But let me ask you something. An earthly father, a good earthly father, does he disown his children when they don't accept everything he says? No. He continues to care for His children because they're His children. And that's what He's saying. You know what? I'm your God. And one of the things I noticed just this week when I was reading, God was in Leviticus. God was saying, look, if you disobey me, and He had this list of stuff that was going to happen, He said, I am going to be so upset with you that I am going to bring you to the place where you are going to be eating your own children. But you know what He said after that? He gave a whole list of things that He said He was going to do. But you know what He said after that? He said, I'm your God. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to walk away from you. I am going to bring these things into your experience to bring you back to myself. I am your God. And that's what's happening here in Isaiah. Isaiah is telling the children of Israel, look, you are walking away from God. You are in bad situations because of what you're doing with your God. But He's still your God. He says so. He's a very personal God. He's interested in you and me. He loves us with an everlasting love. And so he tells the children of Israel, you know, I made a promise to Abraham that I would be the God to his descendants, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, that promise isn't changing. I am your God. Very personal. He tells Moses, when he gives the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God. Exodus chapter 20. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. So he's bringing these Ten Commandments to his people, but he's bringing them on this basis. I am your God. I am present. I'm here. And I'm personal. He's seeking that relationship. Are you starting to get a bit of a picture here of who this God is and what He's after? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, and all of these prophets are speaking against what the children of Israel are doing, the children of Israel and Judah. But look what he says. The Lord your God in the middle of you is mighty. Your God is present. He's in the middle of you, and He's your God. Very personal. He is here, and He's about you. And we don't have time to go into all the things that we could go into here this morning, but I want us to be aware of these truths. Because they're so basic, so fundamental. Matthew chapter 9, 29 to 31. Talks about, you know, a couple sparrows are sold for a farthing, a penny. God made the sparrows. He notices them. He cares about them. He made you. He notices you. And He cares about you and me, each of us. You are of more value than many sparrows. What he's saying there is, God is a very personal God. He values you. You remember what God said when he finished his creation? What did he say when he finished day 1 through 5? It was good. What did he say when he finished day 6 with man? He said, it is very good. His creation is very good. Does that say something to you about value? So God's got all this huge creation that he made, and he looks down at you and I, and David says, you know, what is man that you even think about him? Or even consider him? And Jesus comes and shows up and he says, you are of more value. You are precious. You have this enormous value. Don't be afraid. Don't be all worried. You're of more value. Over in John chapter 15, chapter 10, Jesus is talking about the good shepherd, sharing about himself. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Does that sound personal to you? Does that sound like you matter to God? Does it sound like he's caring for you? Does it sound like he's interested in you? Does it sound like he values you? God is a personal God. And Jesus came to earth to show us these truths. God is present, God is personal, and God is precious. And so, when Jesus shares with us about this whole thing about him being the good shepherd, he says, look, I'm laying down my life for you. I'm very personal. I'm interested in each one of you personally. I'm laying down my life for you and you and you and you and you and you, all of us, right? Is there anyone on earth that Jesus did not die for? You look. Some of you look a little puzzled. It's not a trick question. Is there anybody on earth that he didn't die for? Is there any sin that's been committed that he did not die for? Other than maybe the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. But he died for all men, for all sin. Right? He is very personal. He cares about each of us. Matthew 7, verse 11. He wants us to think a little bit. How many dads here today? How many of you as dads want your children to have the worst thing that you could give them? Anybody? How many of you want to give your children the best? We all do. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. He says, so you as earthly dads, you want to give your children the best that you can possibly give them. That's where your heart is. He says, how much more your Heavenly Father? He wants to give us good gifts. Now, his definition of good and our definition of good may not always be the same. Just like our children's definition of good and our definition of good as earthly fathers might not always be the same. You know, We don't just say, yeah, because you want it, you get it. That's not how it works. We look at the situation and we make some decisions. But I want us to notice this truth specifically. Our Heavenly Father gives good things to those that ask Him. Do you want God's good things? Or are you satisfied with your own stuff? John chapter 15, verse 16. And this is not a truth that's only mentioned here. He says, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about the fact that He has chosen us. He has chosen us. That makes Him very personal, doesn't it? He's called us to be His sons and daughters, to be part of His family, to receive the hope of His calling, the riches of His inheritance, and the power of His holy power that raised Christ from the dead. And He's chosen us. 1 Peter 5:7. We can cast all our care on Him because He cares for us. How much more personal can you get? Anything that's on my mind, I can take to Him because He cares about me. He's a very personal God. He longs for relationship. And that's so important in our lives. We need that. We desperately need that relationship. He knows we do. And He's there offering it to us because He's here and He's personal. He's also precious. Now, I think one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, how precious is God to me? We're worth enough to Him that He gave His only Son to die so that we could be His children. So how precious is He to me? Isaiah chapter 28. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to His people. Does that describe God in your life? Is God a crown of glory and a sparkling jewel in your life? Or is He just something that's back there somewhere that just is? I think it's an important thing for us to ask ourselves. Zechariah says He's a light to lighten the Gentiles there in Luke chapter 2 with the story of Jesus' birth. The prophet there in the temple, Zechariah, the priest, he says He's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of Thy people Israel. The tabernacle represented God's presence among them. And if you read and study what the tabernacle looked like on the outside, it looked drab. It looked just like almost nothing. But on the inside, it had so much beauty and so much. There was gold that was just reflecting the lights that were flickering in there and all kinds of things that were woven into the curtains inside. It just sparkled and glowed. And then the presence of the Lord came in there and it was almost too much to enter. And Zechariah says, the glory of your people, Israel. One of the things that we're told to do in Scripture, Luke chapter 10, and this is the rich young ruler answering Jesus, responding to Jesus' question, but he's referring to what the Scriptures tell us to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Why does he say that? Is he just trying to be hard-nosed and just demanding, and we have to, that's just what we got to do? Is that what God's after here? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. No. What he's after is he wants to be precious to us. We're precious to him. Go back and read through the prophets and so on. You come across this over and over without even considering what he's done. He declares that we are precious to him. He joys over us with singing. He just, you know, so many illustrations that he gives there. He has poured out everything that he could pour out to demonstrate to you and I how precious we are to him. And he asked for a response. And the only natural response that's worth considering is that he becomes precious to us. That's why in our lesson today, it said those that are covetous, idolaters, cannot enter the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because there is something that's more precious than God. Stuff. Things become more precious to us than God. And we've got a problem. It's called idolatry. It's called covetousness. A longing after things. 1 Peter 1:19. We weren't bought with silver and gold and precious stones, all those kind of things that men look at as having so much value and so much worth, but with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. The blood represents the life. And so he's saying, Christ poured out his life for us. That's how we were purchased. That's how we were redeemed, by the life poured out. The blood poured out. Christ's blood. And so when we see that, we respond to that God who is present, that God who is personal, and we say, God, you are precious. You mean more to me than all the world. You mean more to me than anything that ever is or ever was. You are my treasure. And Jesus gives a picture of that. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that went and he found this treasure in a field. And so he went and he sold everything that he had. It did not matter if it was a family heirloom. It did not matter if it was something that was valuable. It did not matter. He dumped it all in order to have that field and that treasure. That's the picture of what God wants to be to us. We say, God, I want you more than anything. You know, when we come to that place, God starts pouring out blessings. He pours out relationship. He just gives us so much. Talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2 about Jesus, disallowed of men. He's a chief cornerstone, but he's precious. He's precious because of what he has accomplished for us through his life and death. To you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. I want us to stop and think this morning about this God. Is God real? Real to you this morning? Is he present? Is it difficult for you to picture God with his arm around you? Or with his arms around you, giving you a hug, telling you how much he loves you? Is that difficult for you? Is it difficult for you to think that God knows your name and it's a good thing? That he cares about you? Is that a hard thing for you to think about this morning? Is it hard for you? Is it just, you just can't imagine that God actually looks at you as being precious, valuable, having worth, having what he wants, what he longs for? We need to look. We need to stop and think. God is telling us these things not for some kind of knowledge that we can have in our head. He is telling us these things for relationship, so that it becomes reality in our heart, in our life, in our experience. You know, Moses went from being a man who didn't have any of that. God was not personal. God was not present. God was not precious in Moses' heart early on. But he developed into a man that said, God, I just got to see you. I want to know who you are. I want to know you. And God said, I don't talk to Moses like someone in the distance. I talk to Moses like a friend, face to face. You know what? God wants to talk to you and me the same way, face to face. Present. Personal, precious, valued. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the longings of your heart. We thank you that you have done everything that you could possibly do to build this kind of relationship, to build this kind of opportunity for us, in us. We thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. We thank you that you've chosen us, not because we chose you. We love you because you first loved us. We choose you because you first chose us. We consider you precious because you considered us precious. We're only responding, Lord, but we want to respond. We want to respond in relationship. We want to know you. We want to be like the Apostle Paul, that, oh, that I may know Him. After He'd walked with you all of His life, and He said, that's all life is about. I just want to know You, God, and Your Son whom You've sent. And we want to be like Moses and say, God, I just want to see You face to face. I want to be in Your presence. I want You to be precious in my sight, in my heart. And Father, I pray that You burn in our hearts by Your Spirit this morning. Your longing, Your desire to give us good gifts, to give us Yourself, to give us Your presence, to give us Your relationship, to give us Your value, O God. And we bless Your name. Dismiss us with Your blessing, we pray, in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.